Welcome to the Gary T. Roller Show. Join Gary as he chats with today's innovators and changemakers of the health and wellness movement. Together, we will discover our healthier selves.
Good morning. If it sounds like I've just woken up, that is because I have just woken up. I'm trying to beat the gentle noise of the traffic here in Kuwait because we all know how distracting the sound of cars and honking or hooting, whichever word you use, can be. Welcome back to another episode of the Gary Tirola Show, where I get to sit down with change makers from all across this globe. I absolutely love it because every single week I am learning new things, new ideologies. I'm understanding viewpoints that I've never understood before. And this week it is no different. It's a week where I got inspired, I got motivated, and I got to interview a beautiful couple that is leading a life that I very much would like to lead. They are uber successful in their home and out their home. It's not often you come across a person that just gets it, understands the true meaning of compassion and consciousness. Finding a whole family with this view is impossible. Well, that's what I thought until meeting Margot Curry and Joshua Bruce David. You might know them. They are the uber successful founders of the best deodorant in the world, along with James Aspie, whom I know you've heard of. They are in the process of launching Vegan Rebels, which is a vegan venture capital company that will only work with vegan companies. They supply the world with clean drinking water, i.e. for every single deodorant stick that they sell, they donate a year's worth of water to underprivileged people all around the world. They unschool their three children and they live a conscious vegan lifestyle. And to prove the point, Josh has even got cow tattoos on his hands. Nothing is impossible for this family, and as a bonus, they are the kindest and most loving souls ever. In this episode, we chat about the following topics: about raising three kids consciously, compassionately, and vegan, and out of the archaic school system. We speak about the disconnection happening within reality at the moment, animal agriculture and the relationship towards climate change, health, and peace. How being a whole food vegan is the healthiest and most suitable way to be, whether you are a baby or whether you are an adult, suffering or not suffering from disease and ailments. Unschooling is a major topic. We talk how the current school system is really not suited to aid the growth of individual personalities and really is a cookie cutter model. Obviously, we speak about the best deodorant in the world. There is a story behind it. And it's of a near fatal call through surgical error, which then motivated them to transform their deodorant company into a business that's purpose was to pay it forward. They partnered with water.org, Leonardo DiCaprio's charity, and for every deodorant that they sold, they supplied one person with water for 1 year. As they quote, "The world needs more elevated children." I don't know if these guys could do more. They are so busy. They are living a life of purpose every single day. As we speak, they just uprooted their whole life and moved across Canada to move into a conscious community. They are warriors for change. They are conscious change makers that we need to take advice from and pretty much copy and paste what they do in life. Not only are they successful in business, they are successful as a family. They understand in which direction they want to head. They have a purpose. They understand the spiritual meaning to life. They understand how, at the end of the day, we are all just nature, and that we really, truly, genuinely need to treat our nature, our planet, with the same respect that it's always taught us. So guys, that's enough of my voice. You have to listen to these guys. Give this podcast a listen, and please, I want feedback. I want you to reach out to me. I want you to reach out to Josh and Margot, and let's start this conversation. Listeners, welcome back to another episode on the Gary Tirola Show. We have definitely got more bang for our buck this week. We've got the beautiful, amazing power couple, Margot and Josh. Guys, thanks so much for joining me this week.
Thanks so much, man. This is an absolute pleasure.
It's our pleasure, Gary. We love what you're doing.
And guys, if you could see their beaming smiles, you'd be smiling as much as I am right now. But I think where we're going to start off is Josh was busy sipping a green juice now, very close to my heart, as I also start off most of my days sipping green juices. As a family, you guys have been vegan now for, I know, since your kids were born, but as a couple, how long have you guys been a vegan, plant-based, conscious couple?
Well, Margo's been vegan a lot longer than me. Margo's been vegan for well over 8 years. I've been vegan for three-ish. I was quote-unquote plant-based for a long time, and I really struggled with dairy. That was my struggle because it was in so much stuff. And anyways, I went one day and got cows tattooed on my hands, a mom and a baby. And just as my constant reminder, as every time I reach for something, that read it.
That is amazing. Hold it up. Let's have a look. That's so cool. I was wondering what they were. That is like, now I'm stoked. Can I also get some?
So, but yeah, for Margo, it's been a long time. It's really been a big part of her life. And she's a huge influence on me, and as long hundreds and thousands of other people, but for me, it was a huge, huge influence.
Yeah, that's amazing. And your kids have, so how old are your kids right now?
So our oldest is 7, and we have a 5-year-old and a 2.5-year-old as well. And they've been vegan since birth. I actually went vegan just during my first pregnancy with our first child. So, I don't know if that's the case. I hear a lot of the women in the relationship, I don't know, go vegan first. But in our case, this is how it was. But I never really, I did it myself, and I was very quiet about it. I just did it for the animals, for health reasons, all of that. And I decided that I was going to do something super brave and unconventional for where we live, this part of the world, and just raise our kids vegan, because I read so much about it. Studies were pointing in the direction of plant-based living. I never really pushed it on Josh at all. And he just, you know, I find, like, just like children learn by example, I find if you be the example, your spouse or loved one or family member hopefully will see and follow what you're doing. And so that's what happened in our family. Then Josh followed, and we became so much easier and so much better when we're all, like, just eating the same way.
Margo grew up so plant-based to begin with. Her family was very plant-based to begin with. Well, more than mine.
My grandparents not.
I grew up, my mom was a farmer. I grew up with a single mom, and she was a farmer. And, like, we'd have T-bone steaks for breakfast. Like, our breakfast was steak and carrots.
Hey, man, I can completely relate. My whole family, this is crazy, my whole family are butchers. So it's like, when I went vegan, I was like the pirates in the middle of, like, the ocean.
Totally.
You know? So I can relate. You must have dealt with a lot of emotions changing as well.
It's been a journey, but it's been the best life-altering journey. Everything in our life has changed since adopting this path, so it's wonderful.
As you say too, as everyone says, like, vegan is a lifestyle. It's not really just a diet. It's like we encompass compassion and nonviolence in everything that we do. If we care about the environment, our kids have become, like, they get National Geographic. They know what it's like to save water and reduce plastic use and all that. Take it a step further. If we're reducing plastic for the environment and the animals, the next step is veganism, because, you know, it only makes sense. We have dogs, we have pets, we love them. The kids make the connection. And I think if given the chance, all children will make that connection.
So why do you guys believe, as a conscious family, there's so much disconnection in the world? And when I say disconnection, it's people that are right now are relating to the plastic environment abuse kind of scenario. They are loving their dogs, but they can't make the connection between their food and the cow, or the dairy and the cow.
Yeah, you know,
No, sorry. Yeah, we're trying not to talk over each other.
Two different answers.
Well,
or two perspectives, really.
Or we'll talk over each other because we finish each other's sentences. Well, I guess I'll start this one because, I mean, I just had, that's a great question. I met with the Green Party members here. It's a political party here in our province. And it was a complete disconnect. These people are pro-environmental, like helping climate change, reduction of emissions and fossil fuels and all that. Yet when you present the facts to them, the fact that animal agriculture actually affects climate change more than all transportation combined, they like look at you like you're some alien, or it's the first time they've heard it, or they try to defend it. So I think it's baby steps for some people because they've been doing it a certain way so long. But the actual facts and the actual science, luckily, is on the side of plant-based living.
Yeah,
without hurting animals. But I get what you're saying about the pets, if you want to.
Yeah, I look at everything. So much of it comes down to marketing, right? We've been marketed to for generations that, you know, cows and pigs and sheep and chickens and ducks and all of these like specific animals are food. They're not pets. They're not smart. They don't have emotions. They don't have feelings. And it's been generations of marketing that like, no, you eat these. You consume these animals, but you don't consume a dog. Anyone who would consume a dog is evil and bad. We have dogs as pets. And it's, but marketing is this amazing tool. And, you know, people today, it resonates. Like, it makes sense. That it's like, yeah, a cow has feelings, but I kind of feel really awkward and difficult, and I'm going to be judged by my entire world when I'm the one in my world that says I'm not eating cows because that's just wrong. But it's hard. It's a real hard emotional shift. Like, even I don't have a lot of real friends anymore that are like still meat eaters, but like, even if I went out with them and they were going to have meat, like, it would be an awkward situation.
I know. I do find that now, because I've still got like a lot of school friends. Whenever I come back to South Africa and visit everyone, and luckily my parents are vegan now, so it makes it easier on the dinner table.
Nice.
But I find people take such offense when I sit down and I just start eating my meal, and like, that's all I'm doing. I'm like, I'm not even playing like the Gary Yourofsky card at dinner, showing them like movies and all that. I'm just like eating some veggies, and all of a sudden you can see in people's body language people taking such offense and their ego like wanting to jump out. And sometimes it's hard because my ego sees that and then it's like, okay, let's fight. But it's like, gotta kind of like go the compassionate route always, because that's what you're fighting for. And some people say there's a place for not violent activism, but like more forceful activism. And I don't know, I'm just not that type of person. I'll rather promote the lifestyle by living it than like talking.
Yeah.
I think you're on the right track there. Of course, the way I'm that way too. At dinner with my aunt and uncle and all of us, we bring our own food. It's come to like at Thanksgiving or something, we bring our own food. It's funny you say, by the way, that people are offended or they look at it like, why, what's he doing, when all we're doing is living without harming any, you know, like nonviolently, yet we should sort of be the ones offended by their violence on their plate. And it just, you know what I mean? It's the opposite.
Yeah. It's like radicals eating vegetables while I'm eating my slaughtered cow. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Really? Radical?
Yeah. Yeah. It's become to that. Like, what has the world become? Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to go ahead if you want. I was going to say, like, I also, I'm like you, you know, we are like you. We're sort of more, I don't want to always have it in people's face. But at the same time, that's how I changed. I did see the videos. I did hear the speeches that were really harsh. And, you know, people in my life online were like, do you really know what you're doing? And then for me, it was, of course, I'm a mom. And I related to that cow. You can't actually have any kind of dairy without a mom and a baby suffering. Every single piece of dairy or milk or whatever comes from a grieving mother and grieving child. And for me, I mean, I nursed three children until they're done nursing. And so it was connection. So it was very powerful at first, and I felt like killing everyone, but I felt like really aggressive.
It's very interesting. I always say to people, like non-vegans, if they've got... Yeah. if they've got an argument brewing, I think I've taken a different approach. I'm like, if you spend some time, if you watch this documentary, whether it's Dominion or a multitude of the other documentaries out there that's on Netflix, I was like, watch that and then let's just have a discussion, because I'm open to any opinion out there, but first get all the information, because it's like you said, yeah. Marketing is such a beautiful, it's like a double-edged sword, right? Because it can show you the beauty in things. Like we've all seen, all kids know what it is to grow vegetables and pick vegetables, because that's been in our books and movies. But what hasn't been in there is like how that product, which is the meat, the chunk of the slab of meat, got there. It's just like, so for kids, it just appears there. So it's like,
yeah.
And this is where their yeah. fence is taking. And I do think we are changing. The whole world is open-minded, more open-minded now.
They're becoming that. I like that. And marketing can, of course, but the sad thing in our world right now is the dollars that are available, like meat and dairy, for instance, and the huge dollars available to fight what's happening now with the anti-dairy movement. With all of that, like money really speaks now. And so it's taken, and governments are still subsidizing meat and dairy. They're still helping them out. I mean, if we were to reflect the real prices of dairy, say, or if government wasn't there to pick them up again, because we all know the industry's on the decline, what would really happen? Mm. Imagine if government, if they could subsidize or help out farmers that are growing plants, if, hey, take these pulses or these grains and grow them and we'll help you because you're feeding people. You can feed the world with this as opposed to feeding all the livestock. So there's huge issues that we're all up against, but I totally agree. Things are changing and I have tons of hope.
Yeah, I do too. I just don't know how much time we have. I mean, obviously I can't remember, her name has escaped my mind. She's been like nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. The young girl that's
Greta.
Yeah,
Greta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's amazing. And like she says, she stands up and she's so young and she's telling all these politicians, guys, we've got 12 years left. It's like, I'm not, and she's not, and we come from like the animal activism point of view. She's coming from the pure fact that our home is being destroyed. Like, we need to act. And unfortunately, another downside to the human psyche is we've grown up with wanting immediate returns. So like changing our diet, we don't get immediate health returns. We don't see it in the planet. And it's changing that focus. And I don't know, do you guys have any opinions on how we're going to change people's mindsets around that?
Yeah, that's a tough one for sure. I think
I think it's generational. So like one of the approaches we look at is like, it's not going to change overnight, but you know, we have three amazing little advocate children started. Right.
Amazing.
And they love to go do advocacy work. They love to go do undercover work. They love to come do all this stuff with us, which is so cool. And they love to speak about it. And it's like, okay, well, you know, between our family, here's five of us who weren't vegan a number of years ago that are vegan now, that are telling the story, that are bringing awareness, that it's like, okay, if we can help change the next generation, the world's going to be completely different. Like if the next generation of kids is coming out saying, no, we don't eat animals. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to change.
So I read something, of course, having children is not environmentally friendly, right? Every time you have a child, there's a lot of environmental activists out there who don't have children just for this reason. I'm of the belief that if we are going to have children, if we raise them as
stewards
of the earth, as a voice that they can, because one voice can become 10, can become 100, can become 1,000 more. And so these children that we're all raising, let's really encourage them to live this way, be, I guess, very active, very vocal. And that's the way that the world is going to hear about it and change. So,
yeah, I completely agree. And that segues us into the point. So if you guys are not just a conscious family, but you believe in unschooling. Before I get to unschooling, I want to ask, so many listeners are going to ask, but is it safe to raise our kids vegan? Can they get all the nutritional requirements? I mean, I know the answer to this, but I want you guys to speak it as parents.
Yeah, well, I'm sure your audiences have heard this. Yeah,
of course. We should go bring up, we call our kids Vikings. They're huge. Like, they're healthy, so strong and healthy. It's crazy.
Like, all our vegan friends who live the same way have these kids that are like, especially if you're a healthy vegan, I have to say that there are some vegans, paleo, keto, whatever you follow, there's junk food and then there's whole food. So if we can encourage people, I just want to say this as an aside, Gary, if we actually encourage people to be a good window for the movement, like vibrant, because if we're all sickly vegans and if we're all not doing well mentally, physically, health-wise, we're not a very good window for the animals or for the movement, are we? So we all need to transition to a more like whole foods, less sugar, less processed stuff, right? As much as possible, because that's really what's going to help our movement. People will stick to the plant-based diet and hopefully, I mean, we're vegan for the animals, so we're here forever. But you know what I mean? So that's one thing. The other thing is, I lost my train of thought, so you can continue.
It's
like my first thing.
It's funny, like, you know, I started going vegan for a lot of health reasons too. But like now, like the only reason I'd never ever go back is number one, I feel amazing. But I could never go back because of the animals. And the same with our kids, like seeing how our children are raised and the food that they consume every day. And we're not junk food vegans. Like we make all of our meals from scratch every day. Like a lot of our day is consumed by cooking.
Yeah.
So like we wake up, we make fresh juice every day. We prepare fresh breakfast, fresh lunch, fresh supper, everything. We don't usually even have leftovers. And our kids are maniacs in the best sense of the word. And like, you can't get them out of the woods. You can't get them to stop running. You can't get them to stop. Like our 2-year-old will climb on the dining room table and he will launch himself off of it and roll across the floor and get up and do it again. Like not one of them has ever broken a bone, and they all do that.
They haven't had a lick of dairy. So
I know. Yeah. And that's why I say it's important, like for the re-education of this whole world. It's because especially in the northern states of America, it's the whole "have you got milk" campaigns. Like, you need milk for calcium. You need meat for protein. Yeah. It's like whoever the marketing agency was that started all that, I have to applaud them because geniuses. Geniuses.
Yeah, it is genius, and it's unfortunate. And what's unfortunate is they've convinced governments and hospitals and people dealing directly with the sick people that this is fact. That's criminal.
I know. And that's where it goes really deep, right? I mean, in powerful governments, they're only powerful because of powerful lobbyists. And it's these lobbyists that really are controlling the country, in essence, in my opinion.
It completely. It's really sad. Hopefully it will change. There are some strong politicians coming up, and I'm excited about what's happening because they're going to be a great voice.
Yeah.
Last thing on dairy is that there was the study, I think Harvard University did it, on how it's actually the opposite, right? It actually causes our bones to fracture, you know, long-term. And it actually leads to osteoporosis. So it's like, they need more replicated studies on it.
Yeah. So 100%. So now onto unschooling. For some people, they haven't even heard of this term. I've just recently heard of it, and I will 100% be unschooling my children with Claire as soon as they come out.
Okay. No, yay! That's awesome.
So explain why you chose unschooling. It was a conscious choice, and what it really is all about.
Okay, so I'm glad to hear you say that. I will preface this whole thing, kind of a disclaimer, warning, whatever. It's not the easy way out. Some people look at us and say, oh, you're just like, you know, passive parenting, or you're just like, you know, you're letting them live and you're not even, because unschooling, Gary, is actually something that doesn't even include a curriculum. It doesn't include a set of rules. There are no rules, no nothing. They have to learn when, you know, and how. So people look at us and say, wow, you guys must be lazy parenting. It's actually the opposite. So for parents out there, not to discourage anyone, but it's conscious parenting and is very intentional. Having said that, I feel very privileged to be able to do it with Josh, because we're both working full time and we alternate with our children. So I realize there are single moms and single dads and families out there who may not be able to do it the way we do it, but there's always a way. There's always a way to avoid the trauma of what's going on in our school system. So So I'll just share with you why I first discovered it. My dear friend, Dana Martin, actually, when I first discovered Dana's work, John Holt wrote the book basically on how we're living, growing without schooling. There's all these amazing resources out there.
Dr. Peter Gray
is incredible. Yeah. Peter Gray talks about like kids learn when they, you know, they learn, they like, we learn to walk, we learn to breathe, we learn to talk, we learn to do all these things without formal education, right?
Yeah.
So kids gravitate to what they want to learn. So that's
popular one for people, like, so for your listeners to start like discovering about why people free school and unschool and do versions of their own homeschooling is Sir Ken Robinson has a great talk on the school system, which is,
yeah,
it's a great entry point for a lot of people to kind of go down the bunny hole and start learning.
We can send you the links too.
Guys, for everyone listening, the links are in the show notes. So go have a look there.
Yeah, that's great. Because these links are really awesome. Robinson's amazing.
But it really came down to like my schooling career was traumatic and Margo's was in its own sense. And like, I wasn't an academic, you know, when I applied myself, my grades were great, but I was an athlete. It's what I was. I didn't really care to go there to do math and science and things like that. And
hey, I can relate. That was me. You could never get me in the classroom. Yeah, so,
I always had an A++ in physical education, but I never carried the rest of my grades. But so when we had kids, before we ever had kids, we're like, they're never going to public school because literally, and a lot of us have heard the analogy, it's like they look at everybody as a monkey and they say, okay, everyone needs to climb the tree at the same pace. And whoever can't climb the tree at the same pace as the fastest kid, then we're going to like harp on you and make you stay after class and make you try to get better at climbing a tree. But like, geez, if the fish can't climb a tree, he's never going to be able to climb the tree very well. Let's find out what the fish can do. And let's find out what the elephant can do, because every child is unique. And like our three children are so unique and so different. And understanding that part of doing it this way is understanding who each of their personalities are.
Yeah.
And then allowing them to be that person and allowing them to really try on that hat and, you know, experience what it is to be artsy and love ballet and experience what it's like to like fall in love with science and take stuff apart and figure things out. But it's, you know, we're giving them that opportunity to really understand who they are. And the confidence of those three kids is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, like that's all crushed out of you in school, and everyone listening, and you, Gary. That I actually taught at the public school system before having our first child, and even before having kids, I taught for 8 years there, and that solidified my decision early on that I wouldn't be sending my future children to formal school. Mm. But mind you, there are like good alternative schools coming up, inquiry, democratic schools that are very child-led and respect our children as a whole and don't crush that. They don't crush the curiosity or the imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can completely see that sentiment coming through in a couple of private schools around here in South Africa, in the US, etc. Question I have though is, they've still got kind of a syllabus or kind of a direction they're going to go, like from between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. or whatever the hours. When your three kids are interested in, I don't know, let's call it like in the science, and they're taking apart something, are you guys as parents researching kind of that subject quickly on your side and then sitting with them and then exploring that with them, like between online and physically, et cetera?
There could be an aspect of that. Yes, we learn together for sure, especially as they grow and they want to learn more and dig deeper. But actually, to be honest, science is as simple as going out into the woods, grabbing some leaves, exploring what that leaf is, looking up the veins, what they're called. Science is like literally everything that we touch. There is science behind it. There is like a reasoning why it does a certain thing, why bees act that way, what's going on. Like we actually live it every single day. Yes, we do look up a lot in books.
So let's say we're in the stream and they lift a rock and there's a salamander. Well, okay, well, is it a salamander or is it a newt? What kind of salamander is it? Mm-hmm. Like, what are the questions we're going to start asking now? Okay, can we pick them up? Right? So then it's like we make them think through situations critically. Mm-hmm. So, and then it's like, okay, so the first thing we're going to do is like, okay, we found a critter under a rock in a river. And even if I knew what it was, I don't tell them. It's like, okay, what's a logical step? And it's like, okay, well, let's start figuring it out. And then maybe we go to the internet, maybe we go to a book. Mm. And then it's like, they have to be the one in charge of doing the digging. They have to want to ask. Yeah.
So unschooling is more like living in harmony with our children, and they lead everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, you were going
to
ask something.
So no, so you are like, you're essentially teaching them to ask the questions instead of parrot study the answers, which the school system nowadays is so amazing at doing. Here's the textbook, learn it word for word.
Being sarcastic. Yeah, no. Well, our school system is lacking, especially in this area. Do you feel that, yes, exactly what you're saying, but do you feel like, let me ask you, Gary, do you feel like someone at the beginning, like someone should be teaching or telling a person, any person, what to learn, when to learn it, and how to learn it?
No, never. I mean, I came up in the school, in the your normal school system, in a private school, where it was just like, I just didn't give rats about any of the subjects. Like, really didn't care. Like, I was good at some things.
Yeah.
I was good at math, but I hated math because I'm like, where am I going to use math for? Like, I understand the old school mentality of teachers saying, well, it forms your brain, etc. But I agree with them, but I agree also with the sentiment that you can form your brain in a billion different ways.
For so long,
I led a life where I went from high school, studied a business degree because I thought this is me, you know, I have to be a businessman, mm-hmm. I'm good at math, mm-hmm. and that's what I got in. And then it really took me, and I want everyone to hear this, drug addiction and alcohol abuse to really crush me to my knees to realize, oh my gosh, I've been lying to myself for so many years. It's like,
that's crazy.
And if people can avoid that through unschooling, that is a beautiful process.
Totally.
It's only one part of the formula, what you went through and what you were able to get out on the other side, Gary. That's so inspiring. Mm. And I met children every single day while I was in the public school that were so young and already destroyed. Mm. And they were on medication. Half my class at one point was on either Ritalin or an ADHD drug, and they had to go to the office to take it. This is not normal, and it's not life. Mm. And our children, they're over-medicated in this country. But not only that, they need to be children. Yeah. I mean, children are naturally like, I didn't want to move. I didn't want to stay in my seat. Mm. And so this is, and we end up, what that says to them, and what it said to you and me, is that we're broken somehow, and that we're not, you know, we need medication to fix us, and the system is actually the one that's at fault.
It's like horses, right? Horses are wild creatures by nature, and mm-hmm. they have to break a horse in order so it can, you know, take people on rides and do what society wants the horse to do. It's the same thing with school, right? Our kids go to school as free spirits. They get their spirits broken because that's not what society wants. They want little drones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they come home, not children anymore. Not your children anyways. So
all the mental health issues, all the drug addiction, drug problems, it can stem from beyond school, yes. But my theory is that so much of that happens within the four walls of the classroom.
Yeah, of course. I'm a big believer in that. And I'm actually very excited for that part of my life where I'm going to have these little humans and I'm going to be unschooling, because trust me, I know my family are going to think I'm crazy. My friends are going to think I'm crazy. It's just like, it's a very, especially in South Africa, it's a very new concept. Not that I'll raise them here. I'd love to raise them in the jungle somewhere.
Well, we'll definitely keep in touch. We'll have a lot to talk about when that time comes for you.
So. Yeah, can't wait. I mustn't say I'm more broody than Claire right now, you know, because I'm like, she's like, we need to get so married exciting.
Well, you know.
I'm like, well, we are.
It'll happen as it happens.
It'll happen when you're ready.
The date is planned. We're actually going to Bali now to go source out a jungle to get married in.
Amazing.
Keep us posted on that.
No, I will, man. Well,
it's amazing. And by the way, being vegan and everything, it is easier when the kids are not really, I mean, we're not sheltering them from other kids, but there's so much influence in schools on that note because it's right, it's ingrained in the curriculum that meat and dairy is supposedly healthy for you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's crazy. And well, guys, thank you. You guys are such role models to people of going against the grain, should I say.
Not easy.
I want to get into your guys' personal story. And it's quite a story, and I do love it. So for all the listeners out there, this lovely couple are the founders of the best deodorants in the world. This is the brand's name. It's amazing. It was one of the fastest funded on Indiegogo. The video is still up, so if you guys type in the best deodorant in the world, the amazing video will come up. Please explain the reason why you decided to start a deodorant company in a market that is so saturated with deodorants.
Yeah, good question. I'll let you go.
Yeah, it's 9 years ago, 10 years ago. Wow, 10 years ago, we were just having a bit of a health crisis. We weren't healthy. We weren't feeling well. We looked great, but we didn't feel so good. And went to see a number of doctors. We ended up with an amazing doctor, Dr. Seminoff from South Africa.
Yeah.
Who was, like the coolest dude ever. He lives back there now. And anyways, he's the one who got us on this natural living thing. And so 10 years ago, we started saying, okay, well, we got to start getting toxins and stuff out of our life. We changed everything right down to our mattress.
Yeah.
And then we were very active, but we couldn't find natural deodorant that worked. So Margo just started making it at home. And it was great. You know, it was just this kind of 6 year making it at home journey.
So the market was saturated, but not with the, nothing worked. Nothing, no vegan natural brand worked.
Yeah. And then 3 years ago. So, you know, those first number of years, it got into a few hundred stores in Canada, a bunch of stores in the US, a bunch of international stores. We were featured at Golden Globes, MTV Music Awards, all sorts of really cool stuff, which was really cool because like it wasn't really supposed to be a business. It was just this fun thing we were doing from home for ourselves. And then in 2016, we had a real health scare where I had a lump in my chest that just kind of got out of control and I had to go in for surgery. And you know, just surgery's never a good thing. And just through surgical error, I almost didn't make it home. So it was a real eye opener for our family. And we just kind of looked at it and said, we need to transition everything we're doing because we're not happy. And we looked at our deodorant company and said, hey, you know what? There's nothing out there right now that is awesome. There's nothing out there right now that is really supporting the environment, is really supporting people, is really doing and making an impact. So we literally changed everything at that point. We went to, we literally said, okay, we're either going to shut it down or we're going to turn it into something spectacular. So we looked and said, okay, well, all the packaging that deodorants come in are garbage because it's like, oh, well, you can buy this really great natural deodorant, but it comes in toxic plastic packaging, which is leaching BPA and BPS and phthalates into your skin and causing all sorts of these detrimental diseases or leading to them. And we're like, well, that just doesn't make sense. And then it's like, oh, well, there's glass. And it's like, oh, well, glass has such a negative impact on the environment. It requires so many resources to create and it breaks and it's just not sustainable. So like, that's not good. So there was nothing. So what we did is we created a biodegradable paperboard packaging that it's when you're done using it, you can just throw it in the garden. It doesn't matter what you do with it. It just goes back into the ground. So that was kind of one of the first things we did. And it's all plant-based inks, a soy-based lining inside. So it's all food grade. It's amazing. And then the next one was like, okay, well, all the formulas on the market are garbage. Like it's literally someone made some formula up on the internet one day and everyone knocked it off. With no science behind it. It's like, oh yeah, coconut oil, baking soda, arrowroot powder, and some mango butter or something. Yeah. That'd be awesome deodorant. And it's like, everyone starts making a version of it. And we were guilty of that too. And it's like, well, I'm going to add bentonite clay to mine and I'll be different.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to add charcoal to mine for no other reason than you're going to add it because you heard it absorbed toxins or something. Mm-hmm. And so we said, okay, why don't we just go hire a lab that understands, you know, human biology and chemistry and how our bodies work and how different compounds work within our body. And we had them formulate a product for us and did some extensive testing on it over the course of a year, year and a half. And we ended up with this amazing proprietary protected process on how to do it and what it requires. And it's all vegan. It's all natural products. It's all ethically sourced. So that was one part. And then the sourcing came down to, it's the same thing. It's like, all these crazy things you don't think about, but like you see companies that are cruelty free and it's like, oh wow, that's awesome. But like, then it's like, how many ingredients went in to make that product? Because they go with 21. Mm. Well, are each of those companies cruelty free?
Yeah.
No, yeah. Not at all. So what's the point? So it took us a long time to really start sourcing out ethically focused or suppliers for some of our products. So that was the second part. And then we got down to this where we had like the coolest, the best deodorant in the world. We had the best deodorant in the world.
Yeah, it's like, so, this is amazing. It's so super cool. It's like such the imagery, everything.
And we got to this point. It's just like, this is so cool, but it's like, it's not resonating in our heart yet. It's just a product. Mm. And we're talking to a friend and he was talking to us one day about how many kids, it's like 4,000 kids die every single day because they don't have access to clean drinking water. And we're like, no way, dude, that is not true. And it 4, absolutely is true. 4,000
kids every single day.
Every single day.
Yeah.
4,000 kids every day.
Die on.
Because they don't have access to safe water.
Wow. That's a massive stat.
Yeah. So we're just like, okay, like, geez, if we really want to grow this company to the way we want to grow it, like we could sell 4,000 deodorants a day. Like what if we decided or we came up with a way where every single deodorant provides 1 year of safe drinking water to someone? So we partnered with water.org to make that happen. And then it really came home to us of like, wow, like every deodorant we sell now actually changes somebody's life. So, yeah. So it just kind of came full circle. And then when we did the Indiegogo campaign, it was like, we have this really cool thing. What does everybody else think about it?
Yeah.
So we literally threw it together, sent out a few emails. We didn't do any marketing or anything for it. We sent a few emails out to our email list and within the first 3 days hit our goal, which was super cool. Mm. And then it was really based on feedback, but it was like, I don't know what it had with 55,000 Canadian or something like that, but it was just really great to get the market feedback. So it was really cool.
And I mean, that was your why. That is the why of your company that is so important. It's the same reason. I mean, there's a couple standout companies in the world that have a strong why. I've just I finished reading Simon Sinek's book. I think it's called Why. And he points out there's like a couple people and a couple companies that have always got this why and are successful long term. And one is obviously Apple. Like we don't go to Apple because it's a computer company anymore. It's because they've got like,
totally.
They are changing the way we look at the world.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Martin Luther King, he had a strong why. It's a reason he pulled 250,000 people to his talk in front of the Lincoln Memorial. And this is, and we've been doing it so wrong for our whole life. We keep going like product first. It's like what, how, and then why. And it's like we need to flip it around and have that why. Now,
yeah.
How many people are you, should I say, saving every year now? Like how many people are you able to reach?
that's a good question now because we've been on hold basically.
Yeah, it's yeah. So what happened is after our campaign,
so we hit the ball. I'll just say we hit the ball out of the park with this product because since that campaign that you guys mentioned, the packaging. The mission with the water.org and everything with the animals, it's been like overwhelming demand that we can't keep up with. So we had to actually take it off all store shelves.
And we're in the process of doing our Series A round of investing right now.
We're interviewing investors as we speak for this company.
We can't handle it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that's an interesting question.
I mean, that's amazing. Like, did you ever expect that you'd land up here because of the overwhelming response?
Yeah,
we never thought this would happen with just a deodorant, a single deodorant, but it's huge. The demand is like insane. Stores sell out in 2 weeks, and Josh and I and our little team can't keep up with it. So that's the position right now.
So but like,
there are thousands on the list.
Yeah, like our problem, right? Like, is we're such sticklers on the process. Like, we're such sticklers on like, no, the paper has to be recycled. It needs to be biodegradable. It has to be plant based inks. You know, it has to be a biodegradable soy based lining inside. Like. All of these little details and like no manufacturers carry this stuff. So like our turnaround time on production is like 8 weeks. So like it's because like our demands are so high for what we need to provide to the marketplace. Yeah. Right. So like that turnaround time, it's really difficult, which is a great thing too, because the demand is just beyond, which is so cool. but it's solving that one little issue right now.
I don't believe that turnaround times like that will stop any sales when your why is strong enough. And like, just for instance, like a company like Harley Davidson and Tesla, I mean, I know they're not doing as good as you guys, the good work they're doing in the world, but people wait months because they believe in the brand. And like, that's, I think that's where you've got it at. Like for me, I was so sad when I first came across the best deodorant in the world. And it's funny because today I went on a hunt for clean deodorants and I just couldn't find. And like, I was just like, why can't I get in South Africa? Why can't I get in Kuwait? I'm like, come on, guys.
We can. And actually, it's funny because I know what you're saying exactly. We did the pre-launch. We did the campaign for that reason, to give us some breathing space to keep up with demand. But we made a decision to infuse a big chunk of money into it, have a lot of product, and keep customers happy and friends happy, and stores as well. We don't want to tell them wait, you know? So that's the decision we made.
Yeah.
But we did,
Do you supply it all at the moment? Like even from the company?
No, five stores were begging for it. We supplied a few of them, but we're just, it's a really, right now we're just interviewing potential partners and,
amazing. Really, well, good luck, guys. That's a different journey, a different chapter for you guys, because it's
thank you.
It's difficult because it's a full-time effort to find your venture partner, or it's a full-time effort to continue pushing your company. It's we found it almost impossible to do the two of them together. So we figured, you know what, having the right venture partner will allow us to scale exponentially.
What's cool, Gary, is companies like ours have been reaching out, and what we have created actually is a community of people and company owners like us and like you who want to build sustainable brands. And so we're creating, we're doing it with a really good friend actually as well. So we, anyway, so it's a really big need. Well, but good, to answer your question, thousands will have water.
That's amazing. I'm so proud of you guys. It's so beautiful to see. And I wish so many other companies would take initiative like this with, I always say, like, in business, we use capitalism to grow our wealth to a point where we've got enough influence in order to use socialism to turn the world around.
So totally.
It's like, I just wish there was more. Hey, buddy.
Sorry, this is Jude.
Jude,
do you want to say hi, Gary?
Hey, Jude.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, Jude. Can I see your vegan muscles?
Show me your muscles.
You shot.
There you go, nap time. Excuse me.
So
I want to ask you a couple more questions. I mean, you guys are currently, we've spoken about unschooling, we've spoken about being vegan now, being conscious, you've got this conscious company. You and Margot focuses a lot on vegan made simple. You guys are big vegan activists and getting the awareness out there. What else are you guys working on as a family and as a couple?
So Margot and I have a new project we're about to launch. So one of the things we've realized during this process of finding a venture partner is there's not very many of them in the vegan world, right? There's not a lot of them who understand our model and our belief system. And when you do find some of them, a lot of times it's like, oh, well, we're fully funded right now because they only have so much available. So right now, one of the things that we just about finished putting together is our own model of creating a kind of venture-based company to fund more vegan organizations. So it'll be really focused on training vegan e-commerce companies, physical product companies in the e-commerce world, how to, you know, ethically source their products, how to grow their brand, how to position better, how to, you know, spend almost nothing on advertising, get viral responses, get your product out there in the right way. And through doing that, it raises lots of money that we can use to invest in other vegan-based organizations that just don't have access to the money they need, right? These could be micro investments or seed investments of $10,000 to $100,000 that could say, hey, you know what? Last year, we were able to help 21 vegan brands kick off because of this training. So
that's amazing. So is it just you guys starting this, like flowering it out, like with your magic?
Yeah, so we've looked at having some partners with it, but like Margo's connections and my marketing strategy, like it just made sense. And we already have a lot of vegan organizations reaching out saying, hey, can you help us with this and with that? And it's just, we don't have time to help a ton of people one-on-one, but through a group effort, we can raise the money and not only help them with their marketing and connections, but at the same time, be able to fund them through it.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, you guys are a power couple.
You know what, Gary, you know what it is, we just feel so amazing working with other conscious vegan people in the world, and that's, we've kind of modeling and like kind of molding our life to be able to work with like-minded people. It feels so good.
It's amazing, and I can feel that energy. So I mean, Claire and I, my fiance Claire is a vegan chef. She went vegan between 4 and 5 years ago for the animals, etc., but also completely for health, because she had her own health issues like autoimmune illnesses, still suffers from anxiety from school, all of this, you know. So it's like, it's funny. This is why we can relate. So we go around now, we open up, we've kind of organically formed this vegan consulting restaurant brand where we are able to, because Claire started out just doing menus and just doing recipes, clean, vegan, sugar-free, gluten-free, like very like zero processed food. And now it's turned into a vegan restaurant consulting business. And we're dealing in the Middle East right now. And it's always so interesting, because we're like, guys, packaging, like that, like it has to be biodegradable. Like you can't use plastic. Yeah. You can't have straws. And they're like looking at us like, really? You're being so picky? And we're like, this is the way we need to work. And like when we are working in that alignment, like we have more energy and we want to do more. Versus just coming in and doing like a menu item. So it like pertains to the whole value chain. And when you're doing that whole value chain, or you know the whole part is ethically sourced.
Oh, sustainable. Yeah, you can't have a disconnect, because on a subconscious level, or sometimes very conscious level, customer is going to realize, they're going to be like, wait a minute, you know, okay, they're vegan, but look, this plastic, it's killing our whales or our fish. And okay, there's no plastic here, but look, they're using dairy. Like, it's just, when there's a disconnect in that supply chain, it doesn't feel good from my standpoint either, but I know the customer subconsciously, it's going to happen.
Yeah. So when are you guys launching
for you,
your company? What is like kind of the plan
going this forward? Summer was the plan.
This summer, meaning, okay, you guys are.
You're talking about the deodorant company?
Deodorant one?
Yeah. The deodorant one?
Well, both. You guys have got two massive projects pending.
We're so excited about the deodorant one.
Yeah. So deodorant, we're looking to be able to kick off again in about 90 days. And the other company, which is Evolved Vegan Rebels, is we're looking in about the next 30 days.
Oh, amazing. Is it called Vegan Rebels? I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Thanks.
That's so exciting. So, guys, I have got some bigger questions to ask you about life in general.
Okay.
I'll let Margo handle these.
I kind of like to call them the Oprah questions, because I feel like Oprah coming in with it. So, if you had only 24 hours to live, what would you be doing?
Oh, wow. That's easy for me, and probably Josh too. Only 24 hours, I'd be living every moment with the family.
That's beautiful. Family.
Excuse me for one moment.
It's a great cue.
So for me, it would be, I would scoop everybody up in my house and go sit out in the middle of the woods on a moss blanket and just hang out with them.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. Do you guys have any daily routines?
Our daily routines, we maybe. But when you free school / unschool your family, your routines are different. So for me, it's getting up super early and going to the gym. So that's part of my life. It's just part of what I need to do to start my day. We do every day. We always do breakfast together. We do green juice. Margo makes this incredible raw oatmeal with chia and hemp. And like, we do that every day. So like, there's certain routines. We have bedtime routines where like we all just kind of, so we have a family bed. It's two king size beds together.
Awesome.
And yeah, so like we, every night it's like, and then we have a hammock like over our bed. So like kids are swinging in the hammock and we're reading books and we're doing this stuff. And it's just this amazing experience. So like, no matter what's going on, it's like, we all make sure we're trying, we're home for this part of it. So.
That's incredible. I love that, that you guys are so like intertwined in each other's lives. There's no like separating from the kids. It's like, it's adult time. It's like,
no, it's like there's, we are all together, all up in each other's faces. Margo hasn't been away from the kids since we've had Maddox, which is our oldest. And like, it kills me to be away from them. And this one, like, I used to do a lot of client work and I don't do that anymore because I don't want to be away from my family right now.
Yeah,
there's going to be a point where they don't want me around as much. Yeah. So
like soak it in.
Yeah.
What do you think the soul is?
The soul? Man, that's good. You know, for me, because everyone's going to be different. For me, it's just being real with my family. It's like, you know, there's no fakeness or lies or covering things up in our family. It's like, this is what you see is what you get. Our kids know that we don't lie to them about anything. And I want them to feel the same as they move forward in life. So when you're with or communicating with someone, it's like, wow, that's just like so authentic and real. So I think our soul is just, for me, it's just, you know, being real. It's trying to show the world that everyone should just be themselves, because I can't show up as somebody else. I can only show up as me.
Yeah, I love that. What's your guys' definition of God?
Yeah, wow. That's so deep. So living to me, the way, since the 8 years that I've actually gone vegan, I know it might sound crazy, but I feel like at a spiritual level, more in tune with the earth. More in tune with, you know, everything that grows. I know exactly where my food comes from. So the way the children, my head is clear. So I feel like spiritually, that's how I feel like when I'm in the forest, for instance, if I'm walking bare feet, that's my definition of God, closest to God I can be.
Connecting with nature.
Yeah.
Connecting with nature for us is...
Yeah, man, I can relate so much. Yeah. Barefoot in nature. Like, you don't get closer, I don't think. Finish the sentence. The world needs more.
Oh man, it's lacking so much. My intuitions come back. You know, that intuitive like voice you hear in your head that allows you to make decisions based on what's good for you. That has come back. Like, it's amazing. I think we've lost connection to nature for sure.
The world needs more elevated children. They're the ones who are going to carry the torch.
Yeah. Amazing. Right?
They're the ones who are going to, you know, take the greatness that so many wonderful parents and humans are sharing right now and take it to that next level for us.
Yeah. I think that's such a beautiful way to end it. It's I've got the family in the picture. Well, should I say minus two kids. And you guys are really an advocate of a conscious family. And I really think that is the greatest message that you guys hold so dear. Because
it
all starts at home, like you said. And like, if we can teach our children, our leaders of the future, the best way on how to ask questions, I think that's how we're going to change this world.
Yeah, man.
So thank you guys so much for your time on this interview. I cannot wait to cross paths with you in like the physical realm.
I know. This is, you're incredible.
It will happen for sure. I feel it. Thank you so much, Gary, for this.
And listeners, we will chat next week. What did you guys think of that episode? I'm sitting here inspired and motivated. And if the world was filled with people not like Josh and Margot, but asking the same similar type of questions as Josh and Margot, then we would be living in a completely different world. We'd be living in a world that's compassionate, that's peaceful, that is understanding, that is kind, loving. All these attributes that everyone knows we need for a peaceful, beautiful world. But instead, we are met with a lot of animosity, a lot of negativity in the news, a lot of mistrust of big companies and their marketing campaigns. And I just want to let you know that it is possible. It's possible to live a life that is more in tune and more connected with yourself and with nature and with your children, if you do have any or if you plan to have. It's not all about the corporate money chase. It's not all about the materialistic need to have things bigger and better. It's always about how much love you have for yourself, how much love you have for the people close to you, and how much quality time are you spending together. Yes, Margo and Josh's lifestyle is not easy. I'm not advocating that it's the easy way out. It never is. To be able to grow your children in methods and ways against the stream, against the current, takes bravery. In your mind, you'll feel you're risking a lot. But all you're doing is giving them an opportunity of a fair and equal and just life. So please, once again, give us feedback. You can find them on their website, thebestdeodorant.org. Otherwise, on social media. Margo can be found at Margo_compassion_nonviolence. Josh can be found at Joshua Bruce David on Instagram. And on Facebook, please go follow Margo's group. It's a beautiful group sharing compassion and beauty and love. And it is called Vegan Made Simple. Guys, you know where to find me, GaryTarola.com. Please rate and review this podcast. It will mean so much to me. It'll mean so much to new listeners because they'll be able to discover the wisdom behind all these change makers that I'm interviewing. Otherwise, you can get me on social media, Instagram, Gary_Tarola, on Facebook, Gary Tarola. Go at it. Go find me. Go find Josh and Margo. They're amazing. Let's grow this conscious community together and let's grow this conversation. Much love.